Good morning. We have been talking about the soil moisture SMAP data. Still, I'm talking about the soil moisture and SMAP, but I'm just trying to change a little bit the carbon cycle side. So the title is Assessment of Soil Moisture, Evapotranspiration and Carbon Dioxide Levels Under Different Land Covers and Environments. So the what are the important when we talk about the carbon cycle? Understanding the exchange of CO2 between terrestrial ecosystems and atmosphere is a critical, because the respiration is the second largest flux in the global carbon cycle after photosynthesis, and only a small change in respiration may alter the source and sink of the carbon status. And climate variables influence land atmosphere interactions, and also the ecological variables such as soil moisture also influence the net ecosystem exchange. So currently what we do have, we have the limited, as the Todd was talking, we have the limited soil moisture network, but when we talk about the flux tower, it is very, very limited stations throughout the globe. So, and also we have another side, the satellite data that is coming up to get net ecosystem exchange. But all we need, and also we can do the modeling, but all we need are validation. So we have the limited data. So how can we compare from the satellite footprint and to the point scale? So with that goal, our research objectives for this work was to evaluate SMAP carbon products, basically in Texas, and study the relationship between the soil moisture and also carbon exchange using SMAP products, and identify temporal and spatial distribution. Since we have 1.5 year data of this SMAP for the gross primary productions and the NEE. So a study area, as you see, looked a lot of crowded, but what we are talking here, 10 climate zones in Texas. We have the 10 climate zones, and so you see that all these dotted lines are division of the 10 climate zones from south to north. And land cover has in the Texas, it's dominated by the slough land because of, the precipitation distribution. All the west part has the dominated by the shrub, compared to the east part is the greeny. And then second is grassland, followed by the cropland. And the stations that you see, the green plus cross and the white cross, that are almost selected stations that are used at every footprint scales of the Texas to compare, understand the carbon cycle. So when we talk the climate division, the 10 climate zones, so now you can see we have the south in the terms of elevation, negative 14 meter down from the ocean to the all the way to the 2600 meter up north and west. In the same way, in the temperature distribution, we have hot and humid in the coastal side all the way to the colder north, a little bit cold in the west as well. In the terms of precipitation, we have in Texas heavy rainfall or wet area in the east compared to the very dry, arid area in the west side. For example, in one single month, you see the west was 0.25 inch, whereas about more than 5 inch on the east side. And so I just trying to show this figure is each climate zone. You can see from this figure, it's a cumulative distribution plot. Each climate zone has a way different rainfall accumulations. So that makes the difference in the maybe carbon budgets. That's I'm trying to look at it. And so you see the west has only about 150 centimeter rain in 10 years, whereas east and north has about more than 1,000 centimeter rainfall in past 10 years. So the research data I was talking about, that we have, again, from SMAP products, level 2, soil moisture, 36 kilometer, and carbon exchange, about 9 kilometer, and also the MODIS product 500 meter NDVI and NCDC climate data, temperature and precipitation, and the last one, eddy covariance flux towers. So my goal was to get the more flux tower data from the Texas, but unfortunately, based on the MRE flux network, I could not reach that, have not in the network, but wherever available, about 7 flux tower stations in the Texas. We don't have any are inactive after 2015. So we are comparing satellite SMAP data, which was launched in January 2015. So we could not compare any other MRE flux carbon products. So we have here in our research farm, we installed in this year, flux tower. So we have 6 months data, the carbon flux evapotranspiration that we compare with the satellite footprint scale. So this is the six month comparison of the our flux tower data that is in prairie view, and you can see point data compared to the 9 kilometer footprint scale. I could not say this is the very bad, but this is not even excellent. But what we have here, the good relationship. I consider it is a good relationship based on our observed and satellite one. And the lower one is the evapotranspiration that we measure in the prairie view and carbon dioxide. So you see both are active in the different time period. So when evapotranspiration is decreasing, carbon was increasing. So as we said, when we compare with the different land covers in the Texas, so it's a four major land covers that we compare. And the first, so you can see the UC cropland, that means upper coast cropland, has a higher gross production. And also, if you go to the second figure, we have the more negative, that means more sink of the carbon exchange in the UC cropland. So, and lowest one is again the Texas west part, which we call Transpeco, in the shrubland, the carbon, both carbon production and both carbon exchange. So here is the typo NPP. I wanted to say NEE, net ecosystem exchange. Then we compare to each two climate zones and same land covers to see the difference between carbon production and carbon exchange. So you can see here the two, the prairie view is in the East Texas climate zone, whereas SC in the near about Austin. Both are open developed area, but if you see the difference of carbon exchange, blue is the prairie view and orange is the South Texas. Both are developed land cover, but because of the two different climate zones, you can see that there is a significant difference in the both productions and exchange. If you see the lower figure, the rainfall, because prairie view received the more rainfall compared to the southern climate zone. Here, again, the soil moisture, we have more soil moisture in the prairie view compared to the other part. So that's the make a difference. Similar way, we compare the shrubland cover in the two different climate zones, and you can see the difference here. Again, the same way, wet versus the, even the temperature distributions are not much different in the two climate zones. But because of just only the more rainfall in the one climate zone to the less rainfall in another climate zone, we have the different carbon productions and also carbon exchange. We also compare the cropland all the way to the south of the Texas and north of the Texas. Now you can see, again, the same way, we have also temperature difference and also precipitation difference and the two climate zones, and you can see the soil moisture has. The white one is along the coastal zone, and other red dots, soil moisture, is all the way to the north of the Texas. So now again, you can see the difference, both sink or carbon exchange or carbon flux, and also the productions are way different. And the last pasture is the, you can see here, both are located in the two climate zones, but very close to each other. in space-wide, and both have the same temperature distribution, same almost similar rainfall distribution, then you can see that both carbon production and carbon exchange are very close. So there is not much different. And the last land cover I compare with the forest in the east and forest in the west. Now you can see the difference. Both are the same land cover, but only for the temperature and also the rainfall, that makes a way different carbon production and carbon exchange. But there could be another reason, that East Texas has healthy plants, healthy forest, and the growing up, and other west part has the either died or inactive forest. That could be the reason for the production and carbon exchange the way different. So what I did, just looking the average of the all carbon store, carbon productions and also exchange, positive and negative separately, to compare. We have all the selected land cover types in the different climate zones. Now you can see the developed area, forest area, and also cropland area has the higher production, and same way the carbon source and sink throughout the Texas. And also I'm just checking for a couple of days before and after the flooding, spatial distribution. So this is the soil map, soil moisture map on the dry and the wet. So you can see near about the Memorial Day, we have the flooded, so almost everything was wet. And west, in the before rain, it was the dry. So I compare the carbon productions and also carbon exchange before and after the flooding. Now you can see how, even from the map, you can see the different. So when you got the flooded, and after the flood, there was a heavy, significant higher productions and also exchange. Now I just got the histogram here. Before the flood, it was 68% area has a negative exchange or source, sink. Then after the flood, we reached to the 97 or 98% of the area has the carbon sink. So you can see the same way we have the production, carbon production. So after the flooding, we have a lot of carbon production before the flooding. So by saying that, I would like to summarize my presentation today. This is results show the carbon net exchange rates varies with the climate and land cover distribution in Texas, in other part of the world as well. I hope same land cover at the two different climate zones have the different rate of carbon exchange, which shows the climate is the major driving factor on net ecosystem exchange. AD covariance methods makes it possible to measure net ecosystem exchange with a precision, but in-situ stations are very limited, and that's why satellite carbon products are helpful to study the ecosystem and characterize the carbon source and sinks status. And evaluating the quality of the satellite carbon products is important to study the carbon cycle in Texas and all other parts of the world once we have the satellite products available, where especially varying precipitation and temperature transitions are important. And in future, as you said, we have a lot of dots here. I'm looking at more flux tower data and expanding to other states if we can more data to evaluate the SMAP level 4 products. So, and at the last, I would like to acknowledge my funding agency, USDA National, NIFA, and also my co-authors, and also my two graduate students. By saying that, the last slide, thank you very much for your attention. I would like to have some questions.
Yes.
Have you shared these results with John Kimball, who is doing validation of this
map? Yeah, I spoke with him, and he we are in touch. He showed me that we can even include this flux tower in their system. We'll go from there. So yes, thank you.